We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we have come as far as chapter 6, and we have been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And our verse this morning is verse 11 in chapter 6 of Matthew. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, the Lord's Prayer, as you can see, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. The first part of the prayer is devoted to our relationship and our petitions to God, and the second regarding ourselves. And we're beginning now at the second part of the prayer. If you remember that the first part is to remind you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, are all to do with God himself. But just briefly to remind you that a Christian, because he's speaking to believers here, is able to address God as Father. And that is the most valuable thing that we can think of, and I pray and I trust that this is true of all of us here this morning, and if it is not true of one or two or more, that it may become true during the morning. Because when he becomes our Father, we do become very conscious of God in our lives. You can easily give a test, do I regard God as Father, that if we think of him at all, if we refer to him, here we have, we say Father rather than God. I don't go into that in detail, but just to remind you, it's as if the Father here is the figurehead, which really is inclusive of the Son and of the Spirit as well. Yet we are allowed to call him Father. And there is then warmth and affection. It is a lovely phrase. And it's one worth bearing in our hearts, that God is our Father, that great Creator. Then we come to the reverence and to magnify the name of God. Hallowed be thy name. That we should honour and revere the name of God. So we have a balance there between the intimacy, which was never become familiarity or presumption, and yet it can be warmth and affection, and it is balanced with reverence towards God. Then, how do we hallow his name? We magnify his name by praying, thy kingdom come. And if you remember, we looked at thy kingdom come, had come in Jesus Christ, and then the kingdom of God is within you. When we believe, we're able to say the kingdom is in us. And also there is the progression of that kingdom as we grow in godliness and in holiness in ourselves. And the culmination of it all, of course, is the second coming of our Lord and the ultimate kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then thy will be done. We are praying, well, for thy kingdom come, to go back to that for a moment, you can't pray a greater missionary prayer than that. You pray that this may be true in the hearts of friends, relatives, all that you know. And thy will be done, God's will. Our Lord is an example in the way that he submitted for our sakes to the will of God. So he's not saying, do as I say and not as I do, but he does obey the will of God, and so that we in turn also submit quietly to the will of God in our lives. Now, those are the exalted petitions that we've had thus far. Now, then there is a dramatic change, a strange change. And it goes right from those very exalted phrases to something that seems so very ordinary. Give us this day our daily bread. It goes directly to our bodies and to our existence and our maintenance, that we are able to survive. Then after that, it goes on to more spiritual things in a way again, but regarding ourselves, it talks about our defilement and our guilt and our need of forgiveness and our cleansing and to be kept from the powers of evil. This little petition in the centre seems to be so out of touch. Here are these exalted ones regarding God, and here are these others, which are very important ones regarding our spiritual progress, that we might be cleansed, that we might be protected from evil. And there, right in the middle, give us this day our daily bread. It seems so very ordinary, and yet it has a beauty. So we are going to stay on that for a few moments this morning. The first point I'd like to bring to you is the care of God. And this is a point that really I find overwhelms me. The wonderful fact that in the whole of Scripture we have this great Creator and the sustainer of the universe, and that He, as our translator children earlier on, He who is working out His supreme plan, and to whom the nations are like dust in His hand. You know, it's quite a thought that we are told that even a nation, we think of ourselves, our worries, and our hopes, but a nation is like dust in His hand, small dust by the balance. And yet He is able to consider our needs. And He has total awareness of us. Now, yourself and myself this morning, in the mind of God, there is total awareness of my need, my anxiety, my hope, my condition, my situation. Yet at the same time, He is the Lord of all creation. In thinking of this, it came to my mind Isaiah 40. And I'd like to read to you some of the verses there. Verse 21 in Isaiah 40. Well, really, most of it till the end. And you can see how it goes from the greatness of God then to my need to be really very much like that hymn that says, He lifteth me. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. Now just think of that. What tremendous imagination there in putting this wonderful fact. The heavens, as if they're big curtains, and He swishes it across the universe. Stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take away them as stubble. To whom then will he liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Think about that with me now. Think of the stars and the heavens. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding? Well, there's more in that chapter, but that's to begin with. The greatness of our God, and with the hymnists we could say, how great thou art, and it's enough for our imaginations to be taken up all morning on the vastness of the creation and of the Creator. Then he says, He giveth power to the faint. Right down to me, right down to you. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, not the Christian or the believer, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So sometimes, if we are looking maybe at some great youth stadium by the media that we have today, and we look with admiration that we're able to leap and jump and bound and all the various things they can do, and it makes you feel so frail and ordinary, or then you may listen to a forum of intellectuals who have such understanding and such depth that you don't know what they're talking about, and you think, well, I have no understanding at all, and my body is so frail. But they'll have their day. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's my first point. This care of this great God, that really there are no words and there are no descriptions that can ever encompass the might and the majesty and the glory and the perfection of this great God. And yet he thinketh on me, and yet he invites me to cast my burden upon the Lord, for he actually cares for me. You got a worry here this morning? Anybody without a worry this morning? See, we all have. Well, I invite you, cast it upon the Lord and see what he will do with it. Have you a care or an anxiety? Are you worried of the future? Whatever it may be, I invite you from the scriptures, cast it upon the Lord and see how he will work it out, because he careth for you. That's the first thing. The second is this: the concerns of life. Now we come to this phrase, give us this day our daily bread. Now I must say, to my astonishment, when I was reading the various commentaries, that I discovered that they all agree on one thing about this phrase. Now would you believe it? And I am sure that most of you don't know. It is the most difficult phrase in the whole of Scripture. Now would you have believed that? I don't know. I feel sorry for the scholars sometimes, you know. It must be tough on them. This is the most difficult phrase in all of Scripture. I don't get any difficulty. But then I'm not a scholar, you know. No difficulty at all. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I'm not going to go through all their problems, but I'm going to sum up a little bit about their problems. This is what they're saying. Should it be, give us this day our needful bread? Well, who's worried? You know, really. Give us this day our needful bread. Very good. I have no quarrel with that. And then after a long, long kind of chapter or two, this is the conclusion. Well, we must say that at least it means this: give us this day what is necessary for me. Well, it took an awful long time for that person to come to that conclusion. Give us this day what is necessary for me. Well, I wouldn't mind if he had to change it into that. It wouldn't worry me a great deal. And then another said, when all is said and done, we agree with the original that says, give us this day our daily bread. How would you believe it? I found no problem with that at all. Do you find any problem with it? Have I given you a problem now? Well, let me give you the problems again. And you can choose one of them, and I'd be quite happy to stand with you. It says, give us this day our bread. This is necessary for our existence. And give us this day what is necessary for me. Or let us come simply to, give us this day our daily bread. Now, at the same time, we have to say, what does that mean? I'm not saying it's complicated, but I have to look at it. Why did he say bread? Why bread? Now, I'm looking at it now from a different point of view, but from a spiritual point of view. Because I'm not expected to pray for luxuries. And I can say I can't either. Can you? I can't pray for luxuries. I'm not able to. When I think of the suffering in this world, and when I think of those who are deprived of so much, I cannot pray for luxuries. We cannot do that. This is why he's saying, bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That which will sustain my physical life. It may not necessarily be a loaf of bread in that sense. We know that he's referring to our subsistence, what we need for our existence. Let me read you some verses. Here are some by Agur in Proverbs. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? I don't need him. Who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of our God in vain. It's a lovely prayer. He said, Lord, only give me that which is convenient for me. I don't ask for riches, in case I might say, I don't need God. I'd ask you to spare me from poverty, in case I should steal and bring discredit to the name of God. That's how it's put in Proverbs. It's a simple request. We must never fail to see the hand of God in our lives. Sometimes when we have too much, we fail to see the hand that provided it. Sometimes it is good that he holds back in order for us to see that everything we have is from the hand of God. The psalmist in Psalm 37 and verse 25 said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen his seed begging bread. Now we're coming then to the simplicity of what our Lord is saying here. Give us this day our daily bread. Or as a proverb, give that which is convenient, Father, for my existence and for my daily living in this little physical frame of mine, in this little body of mine. What does it teach me? I saw one man said these words, and I looked upon them. This phrase in this Bible teaches us moderation in our asking. Now, I know, you can say, what about that hymn? Great, large petitions to him bring, how you're coming to a king. But I would believe that that hymn is had in mind. Large petitions, you could say, Lord, let us have a revival. Lord, let us have a great return to God. Lord, make me a spiritual man. Large petitions, not greedy petitions, but large ones. But as far as my bread is concerned, and my daily needs, let there be moderation in my asking. That's why he says, give us this day our daily bread. Also, it avoids us from presumption. I'm not to ask him to give me a guarantee that I'm going to have it tomorrow. He will give tomorrow's manna tomorrow, and I will ask for it tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, so give us this day our daily bread. There is also here trust. I don't worry about tomorrow. Or we mustn't worry about tomorrow. Sometimes we do, and we catch ourselves doing it. We must not do it and say, well, hitherto he hath helped me. He has not forsaken me or my seed begging bread. So hitherto he has helped me. What does this ask me to do? Trust. But this is what happens, speaking now of how I can be, and I'm sure you can be. I say, Lord, if you will help in this occasion now, which is to thy glory, then I will never be anxious again. And then he answers over and above my expectations. And I'm elated and I'm joyful. Then comes the next time. My heart is apprehensive and I'm worried. Lord, I'm anxious. I don't know how it's going to be. If you will help me this day, I will never be anxious again. And he answers over and above my expectations. I find I'm a slow learner. Are you slow learners? And yet it's time for us to learn that we should trust. If he will give me this day my daily bread, will it not be the same God? Will it not be the same faith? Will it not be the same situation that I can come with another day with my request to him? To trust for today and knowing he will care for tomorrow. It speaks of total dependence. You know, I like the way we announce, God willing, we will hold these services. You know, God willing. There used to be more of that in our conversation. If the Lord permits, if the Lord allows. Or a phrase that used to be a lovely one that we will use and sometimes use now. I'll see you next week if I'm spared. If I'm spared. But what is happening in the generation that we are living in? And you see, what is happening? The world is encroaching into the evangelical life as well until we are beginning to think that it will depend upon my bank account. It will depend upon this power and so on, whatever it may be. And the hand of God is veiled. And we fail to see his hand. You know, it is a costly thing to have to be forced to see his hand. But it's a wonderful thing to be always to be aware of his hand if I'm spared, if he wills it. Total dependence upon God. It teaches me humility. And I should never be proud and arrogant and say, well, I'm safe. I provided for my future. I provided for my children. And that kind of talk that we have today, that we're almost drunk with the ambition of the age until we want the best for our children. Yes, we want good things for our children, but we want it so much that we forget that when it comes their time to die, that their tongues will lie stammering in the grave. And so what? And very often, when we have neglected the things of God, or shown them total dependence upon God. Humility, to walk humbly with our God. I love that, you know, because if you don't walk too high, and if you fall, you don't fall far. Because it's an awful thing when you're very proud and you've got a big drop to come. Humility. It means committing everything to God. Now, I have an example here, which I've given you before. And this is a thoughtful message today, and I mean it so much from my heart because it's spoken so much to me. I read part of this letter before. I want you to think of now, give us this day our daily bread. You're feeling a little bit unwilling this morning. Are you feeling a little bit hard done by this morning? Are you feeling that you're not seeing God providing for you this morning? Listen again to Jean Baptiste, who sat in this church, in our pews, and I believe came to the Lord here. Rwanda, all right? At the worst of the killings, now here starts. Praise the Lord. Do you believe it? Praise the Lord that I find this pleasurable moment to send you this small letter of greetings. It's a wonderful thing. When we were last in touch with each other, this is Jean Baptiste, the Rwandan student at UIST some years ago. Hope you remember me. I've just got little marks here where I want to read. More than 4 million of my people have fled there in Zaire. In my family of 10 people, half escaped the massacre, but I still don't know where they are. Others were simply killed. The reality of the situation is very hard for the eyes to see. I myself have been shot with 2 bullets in the left leg, but God protected from breaking any bone, and I stayed in hospital for 2 weeks before we ran away again because of shelling. Now, well, I lost everything. Remember, he was a degree student with qualifications to teach English. Well, I lost everything I had. My house, my books, my clothes, my friends. I only had a T-shirt and a long pants, trousers of sorts, no shoes on. Then I remembered what the Bible says about Job and comforted myself. It is God who gives and takes whenever he wants. God has been good to him. I don't know if he has arrived yet, but in some remarkable way, he has been rescued by some kind gentleman in the States, in Michigan, and money has been provided for him to go. I don't know. It's difficult to find out what has happened since. Isn't it something like this, though? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Any complaints? Does it not make us put our complaints somewhere else when we think of situations like that? And perhaps that we, really in our plenty, are able to say, I praise God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And he knoweth us. And he understands us. Now, lastly, the cost of life. I would like to bring, the commentaries don't do it, but I would like to bring this to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. When he talks about the bread of life, but he has been giving them ordinary bread as well, in the feeding of the 5,000. And it was in this John 6 that I was reading, the beginning of the chapter talks about that. And he leads on then from temporal needs to spiritual needs. And he wants to explain to them that there is bread that is greater than the bread of life. And there is life that is more abundant than our lives here. And so he says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now they're struggling with thoughts. And in verse 31 we have, they say, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're trying to lift themselves up to understand what he's talking about. He says, Moses gave you that bread, says Jesus. Moses gave you that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am that bread of life, and he that eateth of me shall never hunger. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Well, we might say, well, evermore, give us this bread. Let's look at this bread then. We come in the same way. We see the hand of God providing for us spiritual bread for our immortal souls. And we look at it. And the way we come is with humility and contrition and with repentance and with faith. And we come knowing that our total salvation is from him. And also our spiritual strength for each day. So it's the same picture again. And here before long, we'll come to the communion table. What are we remembering? We are remembering the body of Christ. He is the bread of life. We are remembering the body of life. This is essential in the Lord's Prayer. We are remembering the body of Christ. And we are remembering his blood. We are remembering his perfect life. And we are remembering his atoning death. And because in this we realize that he has done two things for us. He's lived a life for us we could never live, and died a death that we would be eternally dying. So through faith in Jesus Christ, we have come into a new life. That is, we have partaken of Christ. And this we are remembering when we eat of this bread. We are remembering this, so we are able to say that I have this bread in me now. That is everlasting life, because that is the topic he's talking about. But if that is true to me, if that is true to me, that I'm able to say, yes, I have partaken of the bread of life, my sins are forgiven, I have peace with God, I believe that he is the main stuff of eternal life for me, then come back to day by day living. If I can trust him with my soul, can I not trust him for my daily needs as well? Give us this day our daily bread. Surely the faith that brings us to Christ should be the faith that helps us to walk with Christ all the days of our lives. William Williams Pantekelin put it like this. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open thou the crystal fountains whence the healing streams doth flow. Let a fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. What shall we say then? Let us show in our lives this total dependence upon him. Let us always be aware in our lives of the hand of God, from the crucified hands of Jesus Christ to that great hand of God that provided salvation for us and which also will provide for us our ordinary needs, be it bread or the anxieties or the fears of my heart. My daily needs. We live in an age that has everything and wants everything, and once more, let us come back to seeing, O God, I am grateful. What did Jean Baptiste thank? Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, that I have a t-shirt. Thank you, Lord, that I have a pair of trousers. But mainly his thanks was, thank you, Lord. Where are we? Give us this day our daily bread. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to walk humbly with our God, for thy name's sake. Amen.